Let's kneel for prayer, please. A simple prayer this Sabbath morning, considering all of our private needs and requests. Father in heaven, we come before you this Sabbath morning with one simple request. May your will be done in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We left off on page 500 in Desire of Ages, if you'll turn there with me, paragraph 3, starting in the last paragraph on the page. Page 500, paragraph 3. Everybody with me on that? Well, let's begin the chapter again, The Good Samaritan. And you'll remember the story from last time. Two men passed by, and one stopped. And it was a test for all three of them. Heaven was watching. You might say it is a parable that explains not only God's desire for mankind to help each other, but it's also a call for God's people to each be reformers. And the man that's wounded and lying beside the way illustrates truth that has been fallen and allowed to be buried beneath rubbish. If we're the one heaven approves, we don't just sneak by on the other way in some kind of safety for some kind of self-interest. We do all that we can to restore the downtrodden that heaven has given us back to its original position. The truth we pick up out of the rubbish and dust, we clean it up, dust it off to its brilliant diamond-like luster, and we hold it up for others for the rest of our life. Now let's continue on then in Desire of Ages, page 500, paragraph 3. This is a very encouraging chapter for your experience and my experience in what is called the Seventh-day Adventist world in the last, 30, 35 years. This is very encouraging, a message straight from heaven of encouragement for you and I. Let's read then, 500, paragraph 3, the last paragraph on the page. Job had said, "The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. And when the two angels in the guise of men came to Sodom, Lot bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night." Job 31, verse 32. Genesis 19, verse 2. With all these lessons, the priest and the Levite were familiar, but they had not brought them into practical life. Trained in the school of national bigotry, they had become selfish, narrow, and exclusive. Let's stop here for a moment. Remember what it says in Desire of Ages, page 258, paragraph 1, the first three words that heaven gives us on that paragraph? History is repeating. Well, if history is repeating, can anybody suggest to me today how the history of this one sentence may be repeating in the milieu of what we call the Seventh-day Adventist world today? This sentence here, quote, "Trained in the school of national bigotry, they," meaning the heathen Laodicean Pharisees of Christ's day, "had become selfish, narrow, and exclusive." First of all, we know that Christ had heathen Laodicean Pharisees in his day. And by the way, and I'm not going to give the page numbers for that again, they're on so many tapes in the past, it's so simple to prove. Anyway, Christ had heathen Laodicean Pharisees in his day. They were in control of what we would call the church of Christ's day. They controlled the Jewish nation. Interestingly enough, God tells us that the Laodicean message applies to us as a people. Review and Herald, July 23, 1889. 10 years later, Christ told us that Laodiceans are heathen. In our own day, Laodiceans are heathen. Signs of the Times, August 2, 1899, or Four Signs of the Times, page 50, column 1, paragraph 4. Then, here, right in our own book that we have in our hands, Desire of Ages 258, at the top of the page it says, History is repeating. And then, probably the most important page in the entire book, Desire of Ages, is Desire of Ages 280, and it says this, As it was in the days of Christ, so it is now. That's clear enough, isn't it? And I'll continue. I'll read it again. Doesn't this sound like Christ is saying history is repeating again? Quote, As it was in the days of Christ, so it is now. The Pharisees, and by the way, we've proved it many times before with the heaven-sent words and Desire of Ages, the Pharisees in Christ's day were most specifically, as God points out in Desire of Ages, heathen Laodicean Pharisees. Again then, it says, it was in the days of Christ, so it is now. The Pharisees, meaning the heathen Laodicean Pharisees, if you'd have read Desire of Ages up to page 280 by now, you'd know that. Do not know their spiritual destitution, it says. To them comes the message, and what message is that? Anybody? Thank you. The Laodicean message. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing, and it goes on. So in other words, Christ says that in his day, the Pharisees were Laodiceans. And he already showed us in other places that we've covered many times, up to page 280 in Desire of Ages, that the Pharisees were also heathen. History is repeating. So in our own day, we know that the majority, or the greater part, of God's professed people are lukewarm Laodiceans and have been so ever since 1876, according to Four Testimonies, page 87, paragraph 2. So the majority are Laodiceans, historically, and still today it hasn't got any better. Then we know, again in Review and Herald, July 23rd, 1889, that Christ tells us that as a people, as a church, we've become the Christless Laodicean church. That's one selected message, page 357, paragraph 1 and 2, or Review and Herald, July 23rd, 1889. So enough and away with this supreme nonsense and this most absurd idea that heathen Laodicean Pharisaical leaders say that the Laodicean church is the remnant church. What a lie. The Laodicean church is a Christless church. One selected message, page 357, paragraph 1 and 2, or Review and Herald, July 23rd, 1889. And the Laodicean church today has only gotten worse instead of better since 1889. Then God told us 10 years later, in Signs of the Times, August 2, 1899, that Laodiceans were not only heathen, but they were worse than dead, among other things. Signs of the Times, August 2, 1899. Or Four Signs of the Times, page 50, column 1, paragraph 1 through 4, especially paragraph 4. So do we have it all now? God told us about the existence of the problem of heathen Laodicean Pharisees in his day. He told us that, God the Father, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and made it possible for us eventually one day on this most insane planet, fallen as it is, to receive a messenger, Ellen G. White. And through Ellen G. White, the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, told us these things. Now, people can of course, choose to ignore them, make up their own religion, and see how far that'll get them into God's holy city. Or they can be like the Good Samaritan. Notice he was in the minority. That didn't faze him, did it? You can almost hear the two selfish ones pass by and say, "Who do you think you are stopping to help that man? Who do you think you are, the only one? You're the only one. Look at us. We're the majority. We're passing by here. You're the only one." Oh, that's so typical of heathen Laodicean Pharisees to sing that lullaby. Christ had him in his day, and he told us all about him. And never forget, historically, it was the heathen Laodicean Pharisees and the heathen church of the Laodiceans that murdered Christ, that turned him over to the Romans to be flogged, misjudged in trial 7 different times, and crucified. Oh, that Laodicean church, that's surely the remnant church, right, folks? Are you going to believe that lie? Are you going to ever listen to a man or woman who spouts that off again from the microphone in what is called a Sabbath-keeping Seventh-day Adventist church? When someone says that idolatrous blasphemy from the microphone of the Seventh-day Adventist church, the Laodicean church is the remnant church. What blasphemy! They are teaching an idolatrous idol or god of opinion, condemned by heaven and common sense. They're not only doing that, at that very moment, that idolatrous god or idol of opinion, false as it is, a falsehood of idolatry, is also polluting God's Sabbath. According to Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 15 and 16. And God tells us that the book of Ezekiel's for the last days. We either believe or we don't believe. Three selected message, page 419, paragraph 6 through page 420, paragraph 1, or letter 132, dated 1898. Simple, simple, simple. The truth is simple. Heathen Laodiceans, in their Sabbath polluting, which, by the way, is one of Satan's other false and counterfeit Sabbaths, heathen Laodiceans in their Sabbath polluting with all kinds of idolatry are the greater threat from within represented by Satan's forces of heathenism, because they are ignored, falsified, cloaked over, excused by the foolish. Whereas Satan's heathen Babylonians in their Sunday keeping, the more popular and well-known counterfeit and heathen Sabbath, a false Sabbath again, is broadcast widely, especially by Satan's heathen Laodicean forces. I find it so interesting as I visualize this. You have the narrow way, the way that was prescribed by the Godhead of heaven, endorsed by the angels of heaven, unfallen, and by unknown numbers of unfallen worlds. The narrow way, bequeathed to us under such a legacy, and ratified in blood by Jesus Christ himself, who was a pioneer, the pioneer on the narrow way. He doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't already done himself. And he gives us the same power that enabled him to do it. Will we ask? Will we believe? Or do we believe doctrines from heathen Laodicean Pharisees because they brag and boast and self-exalt and say, I've been in the church for 25 years, 30, 40, 60 years. I'm a fifth generation Seventh-day Adventist. How long have you been in the church? Oh, brothers and sisters, such a historical repetition of, quote, national bigotry could not be more evident and pronounced and repeated around the world in what people call the Seventh-day Adventist Church. But in reality, what it is today is just another continuation of Satan's openly heathen Church of the Laodiceans. Open up its real catalog of activities historically, and you'll find all of God's commandments openly violated. I challenge the General Conference President, sitting comfortably in Washington, D.C. today, to name one commandment that he thinks the church he supposedly heads, a commandment that they are keeping, one of the ten. I challenge you publicly, and let this challenge go around the world. And I dare you to name the Sabbath. I dare you. And I'll show you how you're openly transgressing that commandment today, officially and openly. And you, Mr. General Conference President, are the most guilty on the entire planet, because you have the responsibility to be the Good Samaritan and set matters aright. Do I even dare entertain the thought that you might do this? I've been in the ministry and the conference and self-supporting work for over 40 years. Well, maybe 30 years. My wife's better at those numbers than me. She keeps track of the numbers, and I go to the battles. because it's been a battle. It's been Christian Seventh-day Adventism against heathen Laodiceanism, disguised as Christian Seventh-day Adventism. And the only reason, Mr. General Conference President, heathen Laodicean that you are, an open sinner, the only reason you get away with what you get away with is because people do not understand God's word on what heathenism is and how to recognize it. And naturally, you're not going to teach them, are you? And they do not understand the subjects of idolatry, which is synonymous with heathenism, nor finally the subject of worship as it's taught in the Bible, as these subjects are taught in the Bible in the spirit of prophecy. You deliberately keep this knowledge of God's justice and His government out of sight, don't you? The fact that Laodiceans are heathen, the fact that you're in Satan worship, the fact that you're polluting God's Sabbath with all manner of idolatry, to include classical, highly literal, highly visible, historical idolatry. Idolatry described even in the Old Testament and carried on in a description in the New Testament, and then carried on by Sister White after that, who made it so crystal clear there can be no excuse. Shame on you. Shame on you for your bragging and boasting and puffing up. Shame on you for your national bigotry and your repetition of the words, "How long have you been in the church? I'm a fifth generation Seventh-day Adventist." And brothers and sisters, for the record, the vast majority of people claiming to be Seventh-day Adventists today, most especially leaders, teachers, seminary professors, administrators all the way up the pagan hierarchical ladder, all the way to the heathen Laodicean on top of the anthill himself, the General Conference President. We all know what they've done that God would have us know. We all know exactly what they're going to do. They don't maybe even know that. God has told us. He's told us in the form of the fact that in the last days, in the perilous times of these last days, there's going to be a heathen form of godliness. Do you suppose heathen Laodicean Pharisees of our day may be leading out in that? 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5, and research that through Ellen White. Oh, what a beautiful study. And then God has warned us about the spiritualistic or heathen omega of apostasy, which we're in right away, right now, friends, by the way. Do you suppose that the heathen omega of apostasy might have anything to do with Satan's heathen Laodicean Pharisees today? History is repeating, heaven says, and warns us so clearly. And there's other things we could study and mention, but I'm not going to take the time. Because if you would have just known that much, I can guarantee you, if you were a follower of Christ, you wouldn't be sitting in the pews of a conference church today. Remember the Laodicean message itself? Christ is on the outside knocking to get in. Check it out. Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. Check it out. Christ is on the outside knocking to get in. The word Christian means follower of Christ. Where are you? Which side of the door are you on? Christ is outside the door. The Laodicean church is a Christless church. One Selected Message, 357. Where are you? Historically, the heathen Laodicean Pharisees have been the leaders of the deceived on the inside of the door, and they've been in the majority. The minority of Christians, as distinguished from heathens, the majority of Christians, and I mean Christian Seventh-day Adventists, are by definition following Christ, and He has been for many, many, many hundreds of years, as the history of the heathen church of the Laodiceans reveals, outside the door, knocking to get in. Remember the legacy of the heathen church of the Laodiceans. They murdered Christ. And I challenge the General Conference president to defend his position today as I tell him, I can publicly and openly prove that you are leading out in seven different ways in open murder or human sacrifice, as the heathen historically have done. But you're doing it today, right now. So again, you see this sentence here in Desire of Ages 500, paragraph 3, the last paragraph that we focused on and that I, spoke about for these moments? It says, trained in the school of national bigotry, they had become selfish, narrow, and exclusive. Does anybody have any questions as to how the vast majority of falsely professing Seventh-day Adventists today, who are spiritually discernible or openly idolatrous, heathen Laodiceans in reality, how they are fulfilling the very, you might say, prophecy of that very sentence when we realize history is repeating? Oh, folks, it's repeating so exactly. The only difference might be is if you could take a Pharisee of Christ's day, a heathen Laodicean Pharisee, and stand him up with a light alongside his face, he would cast a shadow on the wall that would be slightly different from the heathen Laodicean Pharisee of our day, only because of the customary clothes they wear. But within the man, God has shown us the heart by the behavior, and the behavior is heathen. And today they're flashing forth their brazen adoption of heathenism as if it were insignificant in the form of Easter. For example, I can't think of a clearer, greater example, but we could go on for hours if you'd give me the time. I would show you how that church has been thoroughly heathenized, and anybody who was born in it has been born in the heathen church of the Laodiceans and may very likely never have seen or known a Christian Seventh-day Adventist church or body of faithful souls, those living in the hope of being judged by God to be faithful souls. Faithful Christian Seventh-day Adventist souls. The vast majority of professed Seventh-day Adventists today, unknowing and heathen Laodiceans that they are, can't even tell you the difference between God's Christian Seventh-day Adventism and the ongoing heathen Laodiceanism that has usurped its position. Just like this man in our story that was wounded alongside the way, so many truths have been wounded, heathenized, and placed alongside the way. Okay, let's see that one I mentioned, Easter. The 1888 Great Controversy, I said it was so simple. Easter, 1888 Great Controversy, page 387, paragraph 1, clearly tells us, quote, Easter is the old trick of Satan. And Satan is who? The God of this world, Prophets and Kings, page 682, paragraph 2. The God with a small g of this world, he's a heathen god. He is the heathen god. All of the images that he has in his religion of his gods that he passes off as images of God in reality represent him. The holiday or festival of the third person of his heathen godhead, symbolizing his heathen power over a people, is the celebration of Easter. I'm not going to get into that beyond this. The Christian Seventh-day Adventist can look up in their own Bible dictionary and see what Easter says, what it says, and make sure you look up in the 1976 version also under Easter in the Seventh-day Adventist Bible commentary. And you'll see that it says the Seventh-day Adventists do not keep Easter due to its pagan, meaning, in other words, heathen origins. Interesting, isn't it? Notice again it's said in the dictionary in the Seventh-day Adventist Bible Commentary 1976 edition concerning Easter that Seventh-day Adventists do not keep or celebrate Easter, words to that effect. You can read it yourself. Because or due to its pagan origin, and paganism is simply another word for heathenism. Let's get that straight. It's one of the most difficult things to get through your mind. More than 30 years ago, when I started studying God's Word on these subjects, God finally got it through my mind, through His Word, that paganism equals witchcraft, equals heathenism, equals witchcraft and demon worship, equals spiritualism, equals spiritism, equals disguised Satan worship. And all of those topics are covered exquisitely by the testimony of Jesus. Do you hear me? By the testimony of Jesus. Not Ellen White. By the testimony of Jesus through Ellen White. The Lord rebuked the heathen Laodiceans that attack her in 101 ways today. And oh, we've seen them all. We've seen them all in the last 30 years. But never fear, there's always another one on the horizon. Can I hear an amen for anybody who, when I say, I thank God for the writings of Ellen White today. Amen. Amen, I heard. Amen. Let's continue on in our Desire of Ages. Very important sentence. Trained in the school of national bigotry, they had become selfish, narrow, and exclusive. Continuing, it says, when they looked upon the wounded man, they could not tell whether he was of their nation or not. They thought he might be of the Samaritans, and they turned away. I want to focus there a moment on the words turn away. You notice, what was it that God wanted them to do here? And these were heathen Laodicean Pharisees that turned away. What was it that God wanted them to do? He wanted them to turn back and help the man. Oh, how typical of the Antichrist and his people, the heathen. God would say, turn back, and they turn away. And when God says, turn away, then they turn back. For example, in the perilous times of these last days, we've been warned about the heathen form of godliness that'll be taking place, that is going on right now. It is an openly Satan-worshipping, openly Sabbath-polluting, openly idolatrous, and or openly heathen and Laodicean form of godliness of which I speak. And it's going on right now under the guise, like a bank robber and murderer, of being Christian and Seventh-day Adventist. And the people are sleeping a sleep of death. They do not know. Then you find out when they are told, they do not believe. Then when you find out they do not believe, they censor this fellowship and lie about you for the rest of your life. But guess what, folks? Guess what? Look what they did to Christ, their counterparts, the heathen Laodicean Pharisees. They murdered him. This murder is going on today in 7 different ways. And in the past, I have recorded message where I've covered in 7 different ways how open murder, or same thing as heathen human sacrifice, all dressed up for the 2012 festivities. Heathen human sacrifice or murder, open murder, is going on in 7 different ways by the openly heathen church of the Laodiceans today that calls itself the Seventh-day Adventist Church worldwide. To include the repetition of the open murder or crucifixion of Christ afresh, again and again and again. The really most disgusting forms of murder taking place today are not only the murder of unborn babies, Solemn Appeal, page 100, then 101, but again, the murder of the Lord Jesus himself. How is he being murdered? Every time his truth is rejected, Christ is murdered or crucified afresh. And God the Father will not forget to bring the guilty to justice for the death of his dear Son. Read about it for yourself. Let me check my book. Oh, I don't have it with me, that book. Let me see. It's 5 Bible Commentary, 1107, column 1, paragraph 1. There it'll tell you how the things that I've just said are true. When Christ's truth is rejected, the way heaven looks at it is Christ, who also is called the truth, remember, in John chapter 1, Christ is the truth, and when truth is rejected, according to heaven there, Christ is openly murdered then, or openly crucified and put to shame. and God will assuredly avenge the death of his son. What clearer warning could be given to the heathen through the generations? And brothers and sisters, we have more heathen on the face of the earth today than ever existed as far as we know. And yet, you can't find one in a thousand of them who can speak intelligently as to how to spiritually discern heathenism when Satan brings it in all packaged up as heathen Laodiceanism, all tied up in a ribbon calling itself Christian Seventh-day Adventism. If you can't tell the difference between a heathen Laodicean and a Christian Seventh-day Adventist today and in these last days as God has taught it, you won't be getting a passport through the gates of God's holy city. You'll be with the great mass of the lukewarm who meet with bitter disappointment in the day of God because they have not the seal of God upon their foreheads. Lukewarm and half-hearted, they dishonor God far more than the avowed unbeliever. They grope in darkness and/or heathenism. End quote. Why, that's part of the Laodicean message itself for today. 7 Bible Commentary 970, Column 1, Paragraph 7, or Letter 121, dated 1903. So, it's our choice, isn't it? Are we going to be with the minority, the Christian Seventh-day Adventist who stops alongside the narrow way just by the ditch that's called heathen Laodiceanism? There are all kinds of truths laying there, downtrodden and wounded alongside the narrow way. Are we going to bind them up and pick them up as the two cowards, self-serving cowards, murderous as they are, heathen Laodicean Pharisees, scurry by and scamper by on the other way to get as quickly out of the situation as they can? Which are we going to be with, the minority or the majority? I can guarantee you that heathen Laodicean majority will not be in the kingdom of God. So play games. Let's play church, play religion, play friends. Oh, I've got lots and lots and lots of friends, a heathen Laodicean once told me. After I told him how to recognize heathen Laodiceanism, and he laughed and excused it. And he said, oh, I have lots and lots and lots and lots of friends. And I said, see how many friends you have one day on the way to the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. The majority, by the way, when the minority, those that you put outside the gate, those that you mocked, ridiculed, and sneered at, the minority are being given passport through the gates of God's holy city to meet with the Godhead, the unfallen angels, headed up by Gabriel, and all of the unknown unfallen worlds, with all of their numberless inhabitants. Can you imagine what you're giving up simply because you want the social life of the majority? For whatever reason. Let's continue on. I'm sorry. It says here again, trained in the school of national bigotry, they had become selfish, narrow, and exclusive. When they looked upon the wounded man, they could not tell whether he was of their nation or not. They thought he might be of the Samaritans, and they turned away. Again, you see, they turned away. What does God say about a heathen form of godliness? From such turn away. Do the heathen turn away from a heathen form of godliness? Not unless they repent. They mock, ridicule, and sneer at those who say this, and they predictably excuse and cloak over their heathen Laodiceanism, holding forth another tenet of heathenism, the lie. And they say it's Christian Seventh-day Adventism. They turn away from that which God says not to turn away from. Whereas the Christian Seventh-day Adventist, in reality in these last days, as this story of the Good Samaritan represents, is in the minority. And he stops alongside the way to restore and to pick up and to dust off and to heal and to nurture wounded truth that has been discarded heathenishly, Laodiceanishly, and Pharisee-like discarded. Oh, it's a beautiful story for you, Reformer, for you Christian Seventh-day Adventist that have been illegally and unlawfully and godlessly censored and disfellowshipped or terminated or in some way persecuted simply because you took a stand for that which is Christ, truth. This is an excellent chapter. Let's continue on. Heathen Laodiceans turned away from that which God asked them not to turn away from. You see, they always get it backwards, Satan's people. Christian Seventh-day Adventists don't turn away in a situation like that. They turn back and they help the wounded truth or the wayfarer along the way. But Christian Seventh-day Adventists do turn away when God commands them. And God commands them in these last days to turn away from a form of godliness. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5. Number one. Number two, God told us in Signs of the Times, November 7th, 1895, or Three Signs of the Times, page 251. There God says that the lukewarm of the Laodiceans have a form of godliness. Period. The very next month, December 5, 1895, or Three Signs of the Times, page 257, just a few pages later, Sister White told us what the testimony of Jesus was. Do you believe it? Because she told us there that those that have a form of godliness are, quote, not mere heathen, end quote. Therefore, if we can add one and one and get two, from Signs of the Times, November 7th, 1895, added together with Signs of the Times, December 5, 1895, we can clearly see the reality that Laodiceans have a heathen form of godliness. And a form of godliness is, by the way, then, heathen. So how do you turn away from it if you don't know what it is? You know what heathenism is. And you know what a form of godliness is, and you apply those two doctrinal teachings of Christ together that you'll never get, not even at Andrews University. You'll never get it in the heathen schools of the Laodiceans. Never, 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 never. You study for yourself, or you will pay for the carelessness and indifference you afforded those that have the keys to your shackles, as is symbolized by their false teachings of heathenism they have disguised as Christian Seventh-day Adventism and fastened ever so tightly, not just about your legs and your hands, but most dangerously of all, about your very heart itself. The majority of people calling themselves Seventh-day Adventists today, and I mean 99 out of 1,000, or more, are in reality spiritually discernible and or openly sinning, openly Sabbath polluting, and or openly idolatrous, and or openly heathen, Laodicean, Pharisees from within. And God has warned us ever so clearly, our greatest fear is from within rather than from without. So what are the heathen Laodiceans doing from within? Why, they've been pounding their breasts and beating their drums all their lives and pointing at the heathen Babylonians and their Sunday keeping from without. And oh, everybody's been so careful not to mention the greater threat, the heathen Laodiceans and their ongoing Sabbath polluting from within. Sunday keeping, Sabbath polluting, both of them are heathen Sabbaths, and both of them are being passed off by Satan's heathen people as the true Sabbath. Heathen Laodiceans from within, who are in the vast majority. I dare say there's not even one Christian Seventh-day Adventist right at this moment in the Seventh-day Adventist, what is called the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. Could not possibly be. Because there's so much open sin going on in that church. The Christian Seventh-day Adventist is obliged by God to stand up and oppose it. And then he would, or she would, or even if it was a child, because I've seen this happen, be publicly humiliated in an effort, be formally censored, be tried in a mockery of injustice, and be disfellowshipped in shame upon those that did it, and then lied about for a lifetime. I've seen it happen to others, to friends. I've seen it happen. My wife and I experienced it. God give us the honor of experiencing a mock trial of injustice at the hands of heathen Laodicean Pharisees of our day. And oh, it has made me meditate and wonder at the 7 mock trials that Christ had. They never scourged my wife and I. They never hung us on a cross. What an honor it is to be fired and disfellowshipped unjustly for teaching the truth. Okay, let's see here. Let's continue on. I'm sorry, this chapter impresses me so much and is so filled with encouragement to those who are living in the hope of being judged by God to be Christian Seventh-day Adventists as they sigh and cry against the heathen abominations that are being drug into the church today and called Christian. Oh, brothers and sisters, I know you're out there somewhere. Please contact us if you're out there somewhere. As of this Sabbath, I want to pay public acknowledgement and thanks to our website visitors from around the world, particularly this Sabbath, December 29th, 2012, from around the United States, according to our website statistics, around the United States, the Netherlands, the Russian Federation, Great Britain, Germany, Taiwan, Lithuania, Australia, France, Poland, Canada, the Ukraine, Belarus, Brazil, Japan, Kenya, Italy, Sweden, India, Sri Lanka. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for visiting our website. Thank you for the studies you read and you download, and I hope prayerfully share with others. Thank you for listening to our recorded messages, to include our Sabbath by Sabbath recorded message that you're listening to right now. Some Sabbaths we don't have a message. We're either on the road or perhaps we're ill. Or some other reason God is putting something before us to do something else. But generally speaking, every Sabbath we meet here for these recorded messages. Thank you and welcome if you're listening. Please, if you have a comment to make of any kind, our email address on our website works at forerunnerministries.com. That's with a number 4 and then the words runnerministries.com. Thank you. Okay, in our back in our lesson for today, it says that I think we covered the subject turn away enough. You see, heathen Laodiceans don't turn away from a form of godliness. They defend it. That's backwards. Christian Seventh-day Adventists follow God and what he says. They turn away from a heathen form of godliness, which is being promoted by heathen Laodicean Pharisees today. And I guarantee you, those that do not turn away from the clearly, spiritually discernible and openly sinning heathen form of godliness going on today within the falsely so-called ranks of Seventh-day Adventism will not, most definitely will not, be gaining passport through the gates of God's holy city. They will be left here. They will always be left here. They will either die in the brightness of Christ's coming, or they will have died before that. And they'll be resurrected to the judgment of the wicked. And then they'll find out their deception. They called Christianity heathenism, and or they called heathenism Christianity. More specifically, they called heathen Laodiceanism Christian Seventh-day Adventism. And Christian Seventh-day Adventism, they persecuted as if it were heathen Laodiceanism. They could not tell the difference between Satan's religion or God's religion. Heathenism versus Christianity. Why would God want to bring someone like that into his holy city? Amazing to me the arrogance of people who try to climb to heaven some other way. And heathen Laodiceanism, no matter its majority, no matter its numbers, no matter its boasting, no matter the good it does, no matter the truth it does, it's the spiritualistic or heathen mixture of truth and error in these last days that stands it condemned by heaven. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters, I'm going to apologize for talking so much about this, but I'm going to keep going on now. You have to understand the concept of turning away. Whenever you see turning away, I guarantee you in God's word, when you see it turning a subject turning away, there'll be two forces at work. If God wants someone to turn away, the heathen won't be turning away. If God says don't turn away, then the heathen will be turning away. And they will never, therefore, in their impenitence, the rare among them may repent, but it is very rare, isn't it? God has taught that lesson too. The vast majority of them, the great mass, the historical greater part, God's word says, will meet with bitter disappointment in the day of God. Why? Because they do not have the seal of the living God upon their forehead. What happens then? They don't have passport through the gates of God's holy city. Why? Because they dishonor God far more than the avowed unbeliever. They grope in darkness. That's what the Laodicean message clearly teaches. Read it for yourself in 7 Bible Commentary, 970, column 1. Just read column 1, paragraph 1 through paragraph 7. And ask yourself if you think it's safe to remain on the wrong side of the Laodicean door, on the inside, the heathen church of the Laodiceans, in so-called good and regular standing, when even according to the Laodicean message itself, Christ, and therefore Christ's Christian Seventh-day Adventist followers, have followed Christ, and they're on the outside, knocking, just like we're doing today, knocking to get in. Let's continue on then. You have to pick up on the poetry and the beauty of these messages when God uses words and phraseology like turn away. Let's go on. It says, in their action, as Christ had described it, the lawyer saw nothing contrary to what he had been taught concerning the requirements of the law. But now another scene was presented. A certain Samaritan in his journey came where the sufferer was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. He did not question whether the stranger was a Jew or a Gentile. If a Jew, the Samaritan well knew that were their condition reversed, the man would spit in his face and pass him by with contempt. But he did not hesitate on account of this. He did not consider that he himself might be in danger of violence by tarrying in the place. It was enough that there was before him a human being in need and suffering. He took off his own garment with which to cover him. The oil and wine provided for his own journey, he used to heal and refresh the wounded man. He lifted him on his own beast and moved slowly along with even pace, so that the stranger might not be jarred and made to suffer increased pain. He brought him to an inn and cared for him through the night, watching him tenderly. In the morning, as the sick man had improved, the Samaritan ventured to go on his way, but before doing this, he placed him in the care of the innkeeper and paid the charges and left a deposit for his benefit. And not satisfied even with this, he made provision for further needs, saying to the host, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. The story ended. Jesus fixed his eyes upon the lawyer in a glance that seemed to read his soul and said, which of these three thinkest thou prove neighbor unto him that fell among the robbers? Luke 10, verse 36, Revised Version. The lawyer would not, even now, take the name Samaritan upon his lips, and he made answer, he that showed mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. Thus the question, who is my neighbor, is forever answered. Christ has shown that our neighbor does not mean merely one of the church or faith to which we belong. It has no reference to race, color, or class distinction. Our neighbor is every person who needs our help. Our neighbor is every soul who is wounded and bruised by the adversary. Our neighbor is everyone who is the property of God. End quote. Let's stop here for today, this Sabbath, and we'll continue on next Sabbath. I want to leave you with this one thought. The wounded man along the way had a need. Do you not recognize the Laodicean message here? Rich and increased with goods and what? in need of nothing. There, but by the grace of God, we would still be in heathen Laodiceanism ourselves, thinking it is Christian Seventh-day Adventism. And I wouldn't voluntarily leave. No. Christ didn't voluntarily leave, did he? I would sigh and cry for the heathen abominations until they put me out, or until they took the heathen abominations out. But I'm not deceived by that illusion. I know God's word. The vast, vast majority, the greater part, the historical greater part, the great mass of heathen Laodiceans today and in the near future up until the days of Christ's coming, will not remove their heathen abominations or doctrines. They would rather remove Christ and you. And so they have a need, Christ says. And their need is to understand that today, I don't care how old they are, I don't care if they're 120 years old today. If they're 120 years old today, it doesn't matter. They were still born and raised, if they were born and raised in what they call the Seventh-day Adventist Church. In reality, they were born and raised in the openly heathen Church of the Laodiceans instead. And there are clear and decided distinctions between Satan's religion of heathen Laodiceanism from within and Christ's religion of Christian Seventh-day Adventism that is forced by persecution today, even, and blessed at the same time to meet in homes and gardens and back long lawns and fields and tented places alongside rivers and lakes and some of the favorite resorts that Christ himself would have preached in. It is a blessing, brothers and sisters, to be with Christ right behind him as he leads the way, knocking on the Laodicean door to get in. What a blessing to be on the outside of that door with Christ. Remember, heaven's definition of the Laodicean church is that it is a Christless church. And since it is Christless church, 1 Selected Message 357, paragraphs 1 and 2, or Review and Herald, July 23rd, 1889, and I say if only because I wanted to get that quotation out, it is, thus saith the Lord, a Christless church. Common sense and reason, God says, let us reason together. What does that tell you then? If you have a Christless church, you have a vacuum there and Christ isn't in it. What supernatural being then do you suppose has moved into it? It's a Christless church, and the heathen god of this world, Satan himself, has moved in with all his craftiness and heathenism until he has gotten the people to call heathen Laodiceanism Christian Seventh-day Adventism, and all of it has been predicted by God, even how it's going to end. Well, enough for today, brothers and sisters. Next week, Desire of Ages, page 503, we'll continue on with the last paragraph.
Let's kneel for our closing prayer. Loving Father in heaven, we come before you through Jesus Christ our Savior, and we ask you to forgive our sins and hear our cry for help. As mortals, we are but dust, and we ask that your Holy Spirit give us life. We pray that you will put it in our hearts and minds to do your will day by day and moment by moment. You know all our needs and all our worries and all our cares, and we lay them all on you. We ask that you labor for those who have gone out from among us, particularly for the children, even though they be not children anymore. We pray you will bring them into your kingdom, work in their hearts and lives that they will surrender to you fully and be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. And we ask this also for ourselves.
Amen.
Will you please guide and help us through this next week and through our lives? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I think he does. As I listen to your testimonies, I know he does with us and you. I think he does. I can hear it. I can hear it in the confidence that you have in going out your houses and going about your business confident that you'll come home in one piece and safe because you said, Lord, help me, protect me, take care of my home, watch over it while I'm gone and my loved ones. I'll be back by God's grace in Jesus' name. Amen. And then you thanked him when he came back. And on Sabbath, you praised his name Sabbath by Sabbath as he protected you from one murderous disaster after another. That's what we've been having for months on end now. Give thee peace, the last three words of the benediction. He's been doing that. Thanks for coming to Sabbath. Thanks for your fellowships and your song. Happy Sabbath. Goodbye for now.